John Coffey was actually, it's Michael Clark Duncan played John Coffey. I really fell in love with that character. I don't know if you've seen that movie, but it's a little mystical and all that thing. Mr. Jingles, the little mouse on Tom Hanks's shoulder. You see him? He lived to be about 113, never died. He's crazy. Okay, anyway, good prison movie. But my favorite would be Papillon in the 74, 75, around that time. And Steve McQueen and Dustin Hoffman starred in that. And Papillon, those of you who speak French, is butterfly. He had a butterfly tattoo, and he also does a butterfly number when he jumps off a cliff into the ocean. To make a long story short, all three of these guys who are in prison were innocent. They weren't guilty. Two of them make it out. Poor John, he got electrocuted. But the other two guys made it to escape prison. And really, really intriguing stories. But as we turn our attention to the Word of God, we're looking at a prisoner who's writing today's words. And he's a prisoner for Christ. He is guilty as charged, if you will. Not for murder, not for embezzlement, not for rape. No, he's in charge. He's in jail because he's a follower of Christ. I tried to get a figure of how many people are in prison today. But just simply because they're a Christ follower. It's estimated that in North Korea there's 30,000. China, Iran, Egypt, Syria, you name the countries, you know, how many people are in prison? We don't really know. Some of the estimates that are more clear, the 180 Christians are being killed every month. It's a hard historical time period for Christians. How many of you are prisoners for Christ? Raise your hand. Okay, you guys are allegorical. You're not prisoners. You're here today, right? You're free. You're free in Christ. You're here in Hong Kong. But you know, when you look at this book of Philemon, and Paul is actually in prison. He's in house arrest. It's not too bad, as his second arrest will be much worse when he's thrown down in the dungeon, so to speak, in the hole in the ground. But here he's under house arrest, and he has freedom to receive visitors. And he's writing to his friend Philemon. And just to show you, there's Rome up on the left, and then over to the right, Colossae is where Philemon and his gang hang out. But today, we can divide it into two parts, a prisoner's prayer and a prisoner's plea. But you're not a prisoner, okay? The 30,000 people in North Korea are prisoners. They are real prisoners. Paul was a real prison. And when he writes this letter, he doesn't write a letter say, would you pray that I'll come up with a great escape plan? Would you pray that I can escape from this imprisonment? No. He has different things to say. But I want you to, what are you? Mitch Wallace, what are you? You're a student. Tom, I don't know, an insurance man. Pete, a doctor. Norm, a pilot. I am a, you fill in the blank, a mother. I'm a father. I'm a student. I'm whatever I am, you know. And then follow it with, for Christ. This thing about following Christ is not just going to religious meetings like today. It is a lifetime call on you and I when we understand the grace of God and its amazing love. All that we sang about today, what? We live for Christ. And so, how about tell your neighbor, Reinie, I like that name, Reinhardt. Tell Christy, I'm a pilot for Christ. Christy, tell Reinhardt, I'm a wife for Christ. Tell your neighbor what you are for Christ, okay? Just go ahead. I'm a pastor for Christ. I'm a husband for Christ. Ruth, I'm a father for Christ. Don't always do a good job, but I'm a father for Christ, okay? You get where we can't separate our identity from Christ. He's in us, we're in Him. So prisoner is writing a prayer, but as we go through the book of Philemon, don't separate it and think, well, this is guy, you know, old Paul back in Rome. No, it's you. It's you. I think my prayer is that these words will be your prayer, and these words will be your plea, and please come back next week if you're here today, because we're going to touch about something that deals with employer and employee relationships, and particularly within the domestic household. Just for curiosity's sake, how many of you employ a domestic worker? Okay. For sure, you guys come back. All right. How many of you guys are employed by someone? You work for another company. You're not self-employed, okay? You guys come back, all right? How many of you guys own your own company? Or maybe you're independent. Okay, you guys, be sure you come back, all right? So this is what it's about. A prisoner's plea, but it's also a pastor's plea, a doctor's plea, a pilot's plea, a mother's plea regarding employment. But let's look at a prisoner's plea for today. That's verses 1 through 7. I'll read through the scriptures, and then we'll come back and unpack it a little bit and see how it applies to our life. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. I think that should be the last word. Let's pray once more. Father, we thank you that these are your words, and I pray, write them in my heart, in the hearts of my friends. Amen. Some of the people mentioned in these seven verses are Paul. I kind of translated their Greek names. See the Greeks were more like us Chinese or I guess Orientals, Asians. Ruth, my daughter, is Bak Wing Yun. That means eternal singing grace. That's my daughter. White is her surname. So the white one who sings grace. You hear that in the Chinese. I don't call it Ruth. I call her Ruth or Ruthie, but I don't say, white singing grace, would you come, it's time to eat. But if you say those kind of words over and over again, then you kind of get this identity of a person. So Paul was tiny. That's what the word Paul means. Timothy, honoring God. Now there's a good godly name. Philemon, one who kisses. That's interesting. Apphia. This is a sister, and she was named Fruitful. She's a little fruity. You say that. Well, no, she's fruitful in the good sense. She could have been his wife. Some Bible scholars believe that Apphia was the wife of Philemon. And then Archippus, I like this guy, the horse master. I've been told by my dad before he died that my granddad Buckner was a horse person. Archippus could be their son. And we got one other reference, and he's associated with the church at Colossae, so that's where we get the idea that this letter of Philemon was delivered in Colossae. And the church in your house, the church that meets in your house. And sometimes we keep thinking church is a building. There's a lot of beautiful buildings in the UK. And the Prime Minister Cameron, I think it was last Easter, said that we are a Christian nation, but it goes beyond buildings. We are a people who have values to show and to love the world. What a brave man to say that for his country. But church is what? Called out ones, ecclesia. It always refers to people, not to buildings. When you see that word in Scripture, it's people, okay? So this is what who all makes up this passage today in these first seven verses. The designations, and we've talked about one, was prisoner, and only Paul is calling himself a prisoner. He'll say, I'm a prisoner, okay? And in a spiritual sense, we are all have pledged our lives to Christ. In that sense, we are his slaves. But prisoner for Christ, in the literal sense, was Paul. He used the word brother, fellow worker, sister, a couple times, and saints. I'll talk about that later. I caught you on the prisoner one. How many of you think you're saints? Raise your hand. Yeah, a little few more hands. Some guys think I'm going to embarrass you. If you've come to faith in Christ, we'll talk about this later on in the sermon, you are a saint. We'll get back to that. Okay, introduction. Paul and Timothy seem to be behind this letter. Reason I think Paul is the only author of the letter, I think Timothy could visit him, and he gave Timothy the letter, and then Timothy delivered it. But here it's saying that this is Paul and Timothy sending their greetings to Philemon, Apphia, Archippus, and the church in your house. I can remember there was a time when a lot of my friends thought that, and particularly in the late 70s, we had the house church movement. So organized church was frowned upon. And they thought the biblical way, the Acts way, was to have house churches. Has anybody ever participated in house churches? Yeah. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But remember, the building, whether it's a home or a school or a nice cathedral, whatever, that's not what it's about. It's about the people. But to the called out ones that meet in your house. And he gives them this salutation. This is to you guys, Philemon and your family. Let's go, just make it short. I believe there's a very strong possibility that's his family, his wife and son. To you and your family, and to all those Christian brothers and sisters who meet at your church, grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. There is no lack of need in your life and my life for grace and peace. I touched on it last week when I said, now that you are in Christ, go boldly, go confidently and to the throne of grace and ask for what? Grace and mercy. We need forgiveness and we need that grace of God to enable us to live a life totally separated from Him. And it comes from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you and I need each day. It's both. We need it from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's truncated just a little bit. It should say, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. We're no longer God's enemy. Now, sin gets in our way as Christians. And that's why when the Lord taught his disciples, he said, pray daily, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Keep very short accounts. Grace and peace to you, church in Colossae, that meets at Philemon's house. Keep grace and peace of God. May it just keep coming and coming over to you. You'll know you're a forgiven person. You are a child of God. And may that grace and peace be in you. Now, we get to the actual prayer of thanks. This is the prisoner's prayer. And he says, I thank my God when I remember you in my prayers. Thanking God for when he remembers them in his prayers. It means, number one, a couple of things here. You got to remember people, right? You got to think about them. And you got to do something that's actually pray. I don't pray until I get in trouble. I got a tax bill. I wasn't expecting that. It's time to pray. Oops. my little kid just broke their arm. It's time to pray. Boss has just really yelled at me at work. It's time to pray. Well, yeah, all those situations we should be praying about. But can we pray for one another? Paul remembers he had a relationship, a love, a connection with Philemon and his family and the church that meets in his house. And when he remembers them, he says what? I would pray for you. I would pray for you always. Giving thanksgiving. This past week, did you remember anybody that's sitting around in here? Did you pray for anybody that's sitting around here? I know you did. Some of you prayed a lot. And you may have even prayed for me. And I'm going to venture to say that for many of you, you gave thanks. Well, Paul did this. When he remembered these guys, he always gave thanks. And he had a reason. He said, because what? Because I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. It delights me as your pastor when I see that you are on the worship team, the setup crew, doing children's ministry, hospitality ministry, whatever ministry it might be a part of this church. When you're trying your best in the workplace to be a witness for Christ, when you're trying your best as a husband or a wife to bring glory to God through your marriage, when you're trying your best as a parent to raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, when I know that you're doing that not to earn God's love, but in response to His love, because you understand His great love, and now you are this mother for Christ. You are this employer for Christ. You are this employee for Christ. Yeah. I give thanks to God for you. Because we seek to be a witness in response to His grace. We seek to be our life, do our life in responding to His love. And that will result into people loving people. Within the church family, yes. Within your own household, yes. At the workplace, yes. You will be a people. I will be a people. A person who loves. People will see it. And that's why they say, you'll know they are Christians by their love. So how's your love going on, gang? You know, in the workplace. In DB. Because I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Yeah, man, that makes me be thankful to God. I'm going to guess if we did a church survey now, we did one when I first came, that the major theme that attracted people to our church is one thing, is the love we have for each other. Goes beyond surface friendship. The friendliness, the love that's seen among us. Yeah. Okay. But it also not only gives thanks, but he has this prayer, and he says, and I pray. What does he pray? He prays that the sharing of your faith may become effective. That the sharing of your faith may become effective. Now, when we think of sharing of your faith becoming effective, we may just think that that's dealing with evangelism, telling our unsaved friends and families, strangers, who Jesus is and that they should repent and believe. That's part of it. But I think as you'll see the letter unfold, it's not about evangelism. It's going to be centered on receiving back and being reconciled to Onesimus, your former slave who's coming back. Koinonia is this word sharing. This koinonia is central to church. to being a people of God is koinonia. Now, what does koinonia mean? The English word is translated sharing here. In Acts 2, when it speaks of the early church, it says they were devoted to what? They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to prayer, and to the fellowship. Fellowship is koinonia. At one time, we did this thing called K groups, and by the K group, we meant groups of koinonia. And fourthly, they were devoted to the breaking of bread. That can be interpreted in two ways, but I think it's both ways, sharing meals together and celebrating the Lord's table. So this fellowship, the sharing of your faith, may become effective. Now, we'll unpack that word effective, but I want to say it's been my joy as your pastor to be in part of small groups, and particularly in the last couple of years with different groups of men, and I can tell you that we are experiencing koinonia. We talk about our work, we talk about our marriages, we talk about our parenting challenges, and yesterday I shared with them that it's going to be a hard day for me. I had to put down my little dog. We had a little doggy named Annie for 16 and a half years, and it was tough. So Bonnie and I took the ferry over to Muiwa and then a taxi to Puyo and went through that whole process of seeing our little puppy leave. But what? These guys on Saturday morning pray for me. Evelyn says, "How you doing?" You know, she knows I got a little dog and I say goodbye too. And Tom's wife, Esther, said, "How's your dog doing?" You know, and you know, "How you guys coping?" Sandy said, but you see, people care. That's koinonia. Well, these little things in life, a dog's one thing, but how much more when your father dies? Your father has heart surgery. Or you, my dear friend, have a physical ailment that's really tough. Yeah. So I'm going to pray that the sharing of your faith, as you get together and you have this friendship that's built in Christ, that the sharing of your faith will make you effective. Now, what's this effective bit? For the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us is for the sake of Christ. Every good thing that you and I have, whether it's spiritual or material, everything good is for Christ. Every dollar that you own in you have in your savings or in your current accounts, in investments, your portfolio, every property that you own, everything that you own, every good thing, even a little doggy, a little good thing, every little good thing is for the sake of Christ, including our spiritual gifts. It's for the sake of Christ. Yeah, let's have fellowship. Let's encourage each other to see that every good thing we have is for Christ. But watch what happens when a people really understand. Remember that early church that said they had everything in common? Now, granted, we put together as a congregation, we bring our monies, and I think we're about at $2.4 million, something like that. Roughly $2.5 million that we're giving towards God's work. That's a collective effort. But I'd probably lose my job if I said I want everybody to just make one common bank account. You know. You say, "Oh, I think, James, it's about time for you to retire. You know, it's time to go." That's not going to happen, right? But the early church was so committed that they understood that, you know. We do not have to have a collective bank account, but this sense of taking care of each other and being dedicated to the fellowship. I see it here. I see it expressed in different ways. Okay. When we understand that everything that we have is for the sake of Christ, we will bring joy and comfort and love to the hearts of the saints. Now, this is what Philemon had done. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. I can say just about everybody I can make eye contact with here, you've refreshed me. You've brought joy and comfort into my life in different ways. And it's my prayer that somehow it's been reciprocated. But for Paul, this is what he means by effectiveness. Now, some of you are pretty down today. You've had a tough week. You've got some very hard situations in your life. And you need somebody just to listen to you. Sometimes that can bring joy and comfort. Sometimes you may need somebody to help you do something very practical. I know the ladies in this church are so good when a new couple have a baby, and I think some meals have been arranged for Christina and David Byun and all that. You know, it's these different things happen here in this church that aren't put in the bulletin, or we don't have a slide up here, right? All these good things, people caring for one another, bringing comfort. But I want to tell you, I got two verses that the Lord's laid on my heart that just will give you comfort. I promise you, if you'll just say these to yourself, okay, no matter how tough it is, how downcast you are, how depressed you are, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. He doesn't say, I'm going to solve your problem. He doesn't say, I'm going to make everything smooth. But he does promise you that his grace is sufficient for you. It is. And the second thing is, for this light and momentary affliction that you're experiencing right now is preparing you for an eternal weight of glory that cannot be compared with your affliction. So I like to compare it to, here's a little feather of affliction. Some of us have feathers that seem to be bigger than just a feather. But they're just a feather. And over here, we got, what can I call it? A truck full of gold. A room full of gold. And this is just a little feather. This is temporary. This is for eternity. Okay, there's many ways when God's Spirit is working among his people can bring joy and comfort. But I hope you've experienced that here at DBICC. So that gets us to the application, really. I think you've caught on. Be thankful for the leadership of DBICC. Should be more than those guys. There they are. James, maybe my name should be the Chelsea man. I don't know what you want to call me. But anyway, nicknames. James, Evelyn, would you stand up? Come on, stand up. I'm going to make all these guys stand up. Stand up. I mean, you know, servant leader and all that. Elizabeth, is she running around with the kids, right? How about Norman, Jesse, David, and Peter? Come on, guys, stand up. Elders, stand up, stand up. Davis with young kids. Marilee is in the United States. Keep standing, Norman, please. Please. Pam is overseas. Roberto is upstairs. Martin and Sandy, come on. All right. Every part of our worship team is important, but these guys seem to the names that just listed here are the ones who bring in together the worship team. Kenny, can you stand up? He's our setup crew and soundboard. Now, it's hard to say. I don't really know moms to moms who really takes hold of that, but Marilee does the lion's share of that work. We'll hear more. But there's different groups that meet for men who lead those groups. Paul and Martin, I thank you for that. But they're real names and real people. Nobody likes to keep standing. Come on, his shoes untied. But anyway, we heard from the claps. You guys can sit down. You heard from the claps. people are thankful for you. But be thankful. And it's a strange thing. Bonnie and I were praying. We were giving thanks for family and different stuff the other day. This is before Annie said goodbye to us. And from Thanksgiving, it just Holy Spirit just moves you into pray for, right? To become that person who understands that all good things are for Christ, and the person who prays for, yeah, make them more loving, refreshing. And so that's what I would say. As you're giving thanks and remembering us and you're praying for us, that the leadership of DBICC will have a strong faith in Jesus. In other words, we love you, Jesus, and we're serving you, Jesus. We're not trying to earn your love. We're serving you because we know you love us. We understand this thing called grace and love for all believers. When I came back from sabbatical in March. I just came back last week. You know what surprised me the most was to see so many new faces. And then as I began to look at the new faces in the list, I began to see how many people were from South Africa. Man, about 80%. Yeah, look at them. They're all over the place now. And I jokingly told Norman his job has increased twofold now to pastor these people from down under there. But to make a long story short, I love people who are not Chelsea supporters. Man United guys, yeah, you're okay. West Hammers, Liverpool fans, I like you better. But anyway, all around us, there are different types of people to love. And that's the beauty of an international community church. We have Americans, we have Canadians, Venezuelans, hey Maria, we got Hong Kongese, we got Indonesian. Look at it's just beautiful. But if we tend to just talk to people who we like, that doesn't mix well. And so do pray that the leadership of DBICC will have a strong faith in Jesus and a love for all believers. We're about half Asian and half non-Asian, right? And the half non-Asian are from all kinds of countries, and the half Asian are from all kinds of countries. But may God bless us with strong faith in Jesus and a love for all believers. The third one was pray that the leadership of DBICC will refresh people, and that's where the love comes in. That brings comfort and joy. A leadership that serves you should be one that's comforting you, one that brings joy into your life. I was comforted, and I guess I'm happy. That's a different word than joy. That Evelyn gave oversight to today's luncheon at the AGM. So don't worry about food, guys. At the AGM, there's food. Okay. Hope we got enough, but there's a snack. There's enough to tie us over, all right? But anyway, I'm grateful. That comforts me to know that Evelyn has done that. But when I've gone through some very hard times, you know, and see my elder friends put their arm around me and pray for me, you know, that's comfort. By the way, this annual general meeting is a time for electing elders. And I'll never stand up here in front of you and tell you vote for so-and-so in the civil world. But in this, I mean, in political world like Hong Kong government or American politics, I try not to I'm American, so I try not to talk about stuff. Pray for the countries, pray for everybody. Every time I pray for the leadership of a nation, then I just thank God that he's king. And I'm a friend of you, God. God, I can't wait till when heaven comes down and this whole mess will be done. You know, you talk about justice and mercy. It's going to flow. It's coming. But I will tell you, Pete, Jesse.
Hey, Dave.
Norman. I'm so grateful for you guys. And I would encourage you as a congregation to vote for them all. I can't make you, you know. do what's in your heart and your peace. But when you have a chance to vote, I want you to know for me, I'm going to vote for all four of them. Okay. Pray that the leadership of DBICC, including the elders, including the pastor, including Evelyn, Elizabeth, all of us, worship team leaders, Mary Lee, and all the women who lead those meetings and discussion groups, some of the ad hoc Bible study groups that are happening in homes, pray that these people will bring refreshment and comfort and joy in the name of Christ. Okay, one final application, and we'll be done for today, is, are you a saint? I told you we'd talk about it. Well, I don't do enough praying, James, and I don't do enough remembering, and quite frankly, I don't know all these DBICC leaders, you know. And that's okay. We can always get better at our praying and our thanksgiving. You know, Jesus lives to pray for you and me 24/7. And the Holy Spirit continues to pray for you and me 24/7, making groans and expressions to God in ways which words just can't complete. The eternal God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, two people of the triune God are praying for you and I daily, for this church. And only Jesus was the perfect prayer warrior. But if you've believed in Christ, that puts you in a whole different category. You are outside of Christ, you're not a saint. You're inside of Christ, you are a saint. Now, the Pope Francis, last March, about a year ago, he declared Mother Teresa a saint. Does anybody have a problem with that? I don't have a problem with calling Mother Teresa a saint, but I do have a problem for the Pope telling me she is a saint. You don't know where I'm going from this? You, if you're in Christ, you're a saint. If you're outside of Christ, you're not a saint. There's plenty of good people on earth who aren't Christians and do good things, but you're not a saint. You have been called to be a royal and holy priesthood. You are referred to in scriptures as a saint, including these seven verses. You are a saint to the saints that meet in your house. You are saints. And you're going to be tempted by the devil to say, look at your faults, look at your sins, and you know what? You are just too unholy to be holy. No, in Christ you are completely holy, and therefore he who called you to be holy tells you to what? Be holy. Be gods. 24/7, be gods. That's what it means to be holy. Just hang out with God. Do things for God. And so what I eat or drink, whatever I do for the glory of God. All my good stuff, my monies, my spiritual gifts, everything I have, you know, my health and my strength, my intelligence, whatever, all of it is for him, for Christ. Okay, now how do you get in from being outside of Christ into Christ? Well, all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and went to the cross and died for you. He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might become what? The righteousness of God. Become this righteousness of God, which is sainthood. Tom, you're a saint, you know that? You don't have to wait for Pope Francis to tell you that. For those of you who come from out of a Catholic background, or maybe you still got one foot in the Catholic Church and one foot out, and you don't really understand this, you are a saint if you believe that Jesus Christ really lived and died for you on the cross. You are a saint right now. And not only do we believe, but also the Scripture tells us what? To repent, to turn around from doing what? Doing life just my way. What James says is what James does. You know, no. What Jesus says is what James does. And he says, when I sin, what do? I come and ask him for your forgiveness. I go back to the cross and I say, forgive me. For I didn't allow your spirit to control me in this conversation with this person. I got angry. I wasn't gentle and kind. forgive me. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ today, I don't want to complicate matters for you, but I don't want you to leave thinking that a Christian is about going to meetings. No, a Christian is about worshiping God with our life, because we know He died on the cross for us. And He says, if you want to really have satisfaction and find meaning for life, you will surrender to me and follow me. You will repent from doing life on your own. Now, if there's anyone like that here and you're dealing with this, would you talk to me after the sermon? And yeah, it's pretty simple. All you got to do is say, I believe you, Jesus. I want to follow you. And I'm tired of being my own king. I want you to be my king. Okay, guys, how many saints are here today? Would you raise your hand? All right, let's pray. Father God, it's good for when the saints get together to worship you in spirit and truth, to sing songs. Oh boy, they bring comfort and settle us down, get us back peaceful in our hearts where we've been so upset over different things happening in the week. I just want to thank you, Father, for ministering to us through the leadership of this church. And it goes beyond just pastor and elders. It includes staff. It includes small group leaders. But I think, again, you know, all our fathers who are responsible to be the spiritual heads of their homes, I pray you would use them to also bring refreshment of joy and peace when things get rough. Father, again, if there's anyone here who they've hung around, been to church here and now and then, but don't really have this personal relationship with you, Lord Jesus, I pray, Holy Spirit, breathe on them a fresh breath of life. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.